Born with a God-given purpose, what is yours? To obey is better than sacrifice. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that we can trust you with our lives. Thank you that you have created us with a purpose. And I pray that you will enable us to fulfill the purpose that you created us for. Thank you that we were born for a time such as this. Even as Esther was born at a time when Israel needed rescuing from an evil person close to the king, and what she had to do was risky and difficult, but you were with her and you rescued her and the nation. And so we trust you with our lives, with our loved ones, and with everything that we can do in service of you, the lover of our souls, the King of Kings, the Everlasting Father. In Jesus' name. Greetings, saints. Our reading is Luke 1, verse 56 to 66, TPT. Before going home, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months. When Elizabeth's pregnancy was full term, she gave birth to a son. All her family, friends, and neighbors heard about it, and they too were overjoyed, for they realized that the Lord had showered his wonderful mercy upon her. When the baby was 8 days old, according to their custom, all the family and friends came together for the circumcision ceremony. Everyone assumed that the parents would name the baby Zechariah after his father. But Elizabeth spoke up and said, "No, his name is John." "What?" they exclaimed. "No one in your family line has that name." So they gestured to the baby's father to ask what to name the child. He motioned for a writing tablet, and to the amazement of all, he wrote, "His name is John." Instantly Zechariah could speak again, and his first words were praises to the Lord. The fear of God fell on the people of their village, and the news of this astounding event travelled throughout the hill country of Judea. Everyone was in awe over it. All who heard this news were astonished and wondered, "Since a miracle brought his birth, what on earth will this child become? Clearly, God's presence is upon this child in a powerful way." Before we dive into the gems in this passage, just a very interesting little detail. In verse 56 it says that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. And we know that she travelled to visit Elizabeth after her announcement from the angel, Gabriel. And that was in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. That's in Luke 1, verse 26 to 27, Amplified. "Now in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." Now in 1st century Israel, a young lady, any girl past puberty, teenager, would not travel alone. So when it says Mary travelled to visit Elizabeth and travelled home, she was travelling with a family member, some male, just probably a relative, to take care of her and make sure she got there safely and back safely, because, you know, bandits on the road and people that take advantage of other people who are vulnerable. So our scripture for today describes the birth and circumcision of John the Baptist. Scripture doesn't indicate whether Mary was present during the birth, whether she left just before or just after. We don't know. It's just an interesting little detail. We see that this all started a few verses earlier in the chapter, when Zechariah was told by the angel Gabriel about his son's birth. That's in Luke 1, verse 12 to 13, TPT. Zechariah was startled and overwhelmed with fear, but the angel reassured him, saying, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God is showing grace to you, for I have come to tell you that your prayer for a child has been answered. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to name him John." The problem came when Zechariah didn't believe that it was possible. See that in Luke 1, verse 18, TPT. Zechariah answered the angel, "How do you expect me to believe this? I'm an old man, and my wife is too old to give me a child. What sign can you give me to prove this will happen?" So Zechariah just didn't think it was humanly possible, and he was right, but it is heavenly possible, and that's what happened. But his unbelief had a consequence. We see this in Luke 1, verse 19 to 20, TPT. Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand beside God himself. He has sent me to announce to you this good news. But now, since you did not believe my words, you will be stricken silent and unable to speak until the day my words have been fulfilled at their appointed time, and a child is born to you. That will be your sign." Now, this silence wasn't a punishment, it was a practicality. Remember, we are created in God's image, and God's words had the power, and still have the power, to create the entire universe. His words still have that power. And we, being created in God's image, have power in our words. And so Zechariah's unbelief was not allowed to spill over into words. So that is why he had to remain silent. And when the baby John the Baptist was born, Zechariah was still silent, because that was not the fulfillment of the angel's words. The fulfillment came when the baby was circumcised and named, because that was part of the angel's instructions of the name that the baby was to get. And when that happened, that's when Zechariah could speak again, and that's when he praised God. Now in verse 66 of our scripture, the people were wondering, what is this child going to become? And they said, clearly God's presence is upon this child in a powerful way. And they were right. This baby was to be dedicated to God. We see this in Luke 1:13b to 15, TPT. "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to name him John. His birth will bring you much joy and gladness. Many will rejoice because of him, and he will be one of the great ones in the sight of God. He will drink no wine or strong drink, but he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even while still in his mother's womb." So the anointing started from the beginning of John's life, which was at conception. And the proof of this is in Luke 1 verse 41 NKJV. "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." That's when Elizabeth gave that speech to Mary about being so blessed. John's job description was given in Luke 1 verse 15 to 17, TPT. "And he will persuade many in Israel to convert and turn back to the Lord their God. He will go before the Lord as a forerunner, with the same power and anointing as Elijah the prophet. He will be instrumental in turning the hearts of the fathers in tenderness back to their children, and the hearts of the disobedient back to the wisdom of their righteous fathers. And he will prepare a united people who are ready for the Lord's appearing." So this was a very important job, and Jesus, in fact, spoke about it in Matthew 11, verse 11, NKJV. "Assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." And so John had a very important job to do, and Jesus recognized that. But of course, hierarchy in the kingdom is not about one-upmanship, it's about humility. So we don't strive to be better than anybody, we strive to serve as Jesus served. It's also recorded in Luke 7 verse 28. "For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." Now while Jesus does say that there's no greater prophet than John the Baptist, the truth is that he is greater than John the Baptist. And he says that in John 5 verse 36. "But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me." So Jesus is greater than every other human being because he is God. He took the form of a created human being, but he is fully and totally God, who existed before time began and will exist forevermore. Now Zechariah wasn't commanded to do anything apart from naming the child John. He was just told of the pending birth of his son. And so the birth of John the Baptist was not dependent on his obedience or disobedience. However, disobedience is a very serious matter. We see this in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 to 23. "So Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king." That was Samuel speaking to Saul after he disobeyed about fighting the Amalekites and destroying absolutely everything, because everything amongst them was tainted by sin. So we need to obey. because we too are born with a purpose. And what is your purpose? What is mine? We find that in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16 to 21, Amplified. Rejoice always and delight in your faith. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer. In every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench, subdue, or be unresponsive to the working and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Do not scorn or reject gifts of prophecy or prophecies, spoken revelations, words of instruction or exhortation or warning. But test all things carefully so you can recognize what is good. Hold firmly to that which is good. So this is our job description. We need to rejoice and delight ourselves in our faith and be responsive to the Holy Spirit. And we must also be careful that we don't listen to every wind of doctrine out there. Test all things carefully against the Word of God and hold firmly to that which is true, which is good. And we're not alone in this. We are encouraged in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 24 in KJV. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. I want to read the same scripture and surrounding verses. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 22 to 24, Amplified. Abstain from every form of evil, withdraw and keep away from it. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, that is, separate you from profane and vulgar things, make you pure and whole and undamaged, consecrated to him, set apart for his purpose, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept complete and be found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful and absolutely trustworthy is he who is calling you to himself for your salvation. And he will do it. He will fulfill his call by making you holy, guarding you, watching over you, and protecting you as his own. Wow, so we have this encouragement that God keeps us and he is faithful and he is absolutely trustworthy. So we don't rely on our own strength. We trust in God, we cling to Jesus, and we remain in his peace and his blessings every day, all day and every day. Another thing about our job description, let us make our job description similar to that of John the Baptist. Let us go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Let us give knowledge of salvation to his people through the tender mercy of our God. Let us give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, that God can guide our feet into the way of peace. Let us become strong in spirit and boldly declare the word of the Lord. And while we are trusting him and being faithful, let us shine our lights.